Western Wisconsin has been in the grips of a frac sand boom for some years now, but it's only in the last year or two that we've seen frac sand mining and processing facilities explode in numbers. That's led to a lot of development in terms of construction, jobs, and infrastructure. And one of the most noticeable developments has to do with rail lines. This year, around $40 million have been committed to rail lines running east to west and north to south in Barron County and Chippewa County. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of sidings included as well. And we're going to hear this hour what sidings are. So this hour, we're talking about frac sand and the resurgence of rail in Western Wisconsin. This is the West Side. Thanks for listening. I'm Rich Kramer, and I'm joined by two rail experts, one local and one with a statewide perspective. First, I'll welcome Barron County Administrator Jeff French. Jeff is also the past secretary for the Western Wisconsin Rail Transit Authority. Jeff French, thank you so much for joining us this hour.
Thanks, Rich, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Our pleasure. It's our pleasure. And next, I'd like to welcome Jeff Plaley. Jeff is the Wisconsin Commissioner of Railroads and a former lawmaker. Jeff Plaley, thank you for joining us as well.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Our pleasure as well, and two knowledgeable sources on this subject. And we're also going to be hearing a little bit later from Brian Root. He is a former lawmaker himself and current vice president of external and member relations for Dairyland Power Cooperative. He's going to speak a little bit about the pricing and shipping costs side of things relating to this frac sand boom and rail boom in Western Wisconsin. And listeners, we want you to participate in the conversation as well. You can give us a call at 800-228-5615. That number again is 800-228-5615, or you can leave a message on our Westside Facebook page. We are wondering what you think about, well, frac sand mining in general, but specifically about all these trains that are going to be hitting the rails and going through neighborhoods. I mean, what are your concerns about this explosion, these rail lines that have been dormant for many years coming back to life? 800-228-5615. Jeff Plaley, I'd like to start with you and just get some basic information here. Railroads in Wisconsin, they're seeing a real uptick in business and are investing quite a bit of money into their infrastructure thanks to frac sand.
Right.
The basic question is, why should we care, those of us that don't have stock in frac sand mines or rail companies?
Well, because it's literally changing the landscape of Wisconsin, and certainly Barron County, Chippewa County, Eau Claire County, that's kind of the epicenter, but it's really spreading throughout Wisconsin. We're kind of the Saudi Arabia of frac sand. In fact, the weird irony in all of this is we do ship sand to Saudi Arabia for oil and gas exploration over there. But specifically, When it comes to rail lines, as you mentioned, some of these lines have been dormant for a very long time or have seen very little train activity. And, you know, the mission of my office is real simple. Keep the trains moving, keep the people moving, and make sure that they're not moving into each other. And if you look at that line from Ladysmith West out to Barron, that line I don't think has seen a train in probably 12 years or more. There's an entire generation of drivers who aren't used to seeing trains there. So it's a real education process. Same with the North-South line on Progressive Rail that's moving a lot of sand up there. You know, when you have the motoring public who's not used to seeing trains, all of a sudden seeing trains, it provides some challenges.
Mm-hmm. Safety concerns as well. We'll get to that in just a bit. But Jeff French, Barron County Administrator and very experienced with rail in your county. And why are railroads in such demand by frac sand operators?
And that's exactly right. The frac sand operators, their mode of shipment is rail. And they're looking, as we discussed, they're looking at unit trains because they want to hook up a unit train, fill it where at their dry plant, and ship it to the wellhead. unit train is really hard to define, in my opinion, because I've been told by the companies it depends on what can be received at the wellhead. So that's really the impetus. It's about 38.2 miles from Ladysmith to Barron, a little bit further. Then when you go to Poskin, that line's being rehabilitated, soon to be opened. We're told that's a $32 million infrastructure investment. That's what we're being told. In regards to safety, I have to say that, in my opinion, Canadian National has done an exceptional job of stressing safety. They've been in the government center.
I would strongly concur with that. In fact, next Tuesday, I just saw a notice come through my office today. They're running the Santa safety train.
Correct.
From Barron out to Ladysmith.
Exactly. This is all about safety, Jeff. And if you look at the pages in the Barron New Shield, the Corona New Shield for sure, there's half page ads that they're stressing safety. I'd also like to point out that they are putting in, I've been told by my highway commissioner, that they're putting in extra safety precautions on County Trunk, just off of County Trunk Highway W in Barron County at 19th Street by the Rice Lake Airport. They don't have to do that. They're doing this. I'm also told that Canadian National has been very cooperative with the Commissioner of Rails to stress safety in the Village of Cameron. That being said,
I'm like a traveling preacher up there spreading the message because, you know, I've been to train accidents before. They never end well. And the last thing that we want to see is somebody just being stupid or not being careful and have a highway death up there because they forgot to look for a train.
I couldn't agree more, and I'd like to compliment the Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald. He's been real on top of this, communicating with me, and when we've been talking, he and I both on our local radio station, safety, 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 look both ways. You know, and Jeff, the other Jeff would know more about this, but there's never a win. Train versus car, pedestrian, snowmobile, ATV, and so I would leave that to Jeff on that. But I just think that it is going to be a change. I want to just stress to everybody, in Barron County, Chippewa County, Eau Claire County, with these trains coming through, we have to be aware and safety conscious, all of us.
All right,
and one thing that I didn't know about Barron County until recently is that there's a large Somali population there. I'm a South Milwaukee guy, so I don't get to Barron that often. But it's my understanding that the railroad actually did some outreach to the Somali community, and getting things in a language that everybody can understand because it's so important.
That's correct. I spoke with Canadian National on that. The very subject specifically this morning, and they assured me that that's exactly what they've done.
All right, gentlemen, safety is a big issue. We'll talk a little bit about it a little bit later, but Jeff Plainly, how big of an impact is this frac sand having on Wisconsin railroads? I mean, I'm talking car loads predicted or tons. Do we have any numbers like that?
Oh, well, it's fair to say that it's going to be huge. I don't think that the companies are at this point sharing some of those numbers or the railroads, but it's going on all over the state. There's a sleepy little line that runs out of Madison, goes down to Prairie du Chien, and then hooks up with the Burlington Northern. That line is getting a ton of frac sand from Iowa, and then it's being shipped east to Chicago, and then down to Texas, down to Oklahoma. Every corner of the state is seeing this, and the railroads are putting a lot of investment. The other Jeff mentioned $32 million. That's a lot of, and that's not taxpayer money. That's private capital investment. Union Pacific has kind of gambled and reopened a line down near Wyville in anticipation that a sand mine will open. I get calls all the time from, I guess, the lack of a better term, prospectors, saying, if I were to open a mine in this part of the state, what access to rail do I have? So it's amazing, this stuff that probably 4 or 5 years ago nobody ever talked about or even knew what it was. Now it's just dominating so much of the landscape here in Wisconsin.
Now, Jeff French, what about in Barron County? Do we have any numbers?
Right. The numbers that I'm hearing are about 72 carloads every other day in and out of the Poskin plant at this time, maybe going up. However, my understanding is that line has been upgraded to the point that these these trains are going to be traveling 25 to 45 miles an hour. The best information that I have is 45 miles an hour from Cameron to Ladysmith, which they'll get on the main line with Canadian National. My understanding is they cannot sit still. Federal law prohibits them from just blocking an intersection. They have to move. I will say, just historically, I'm 49 years of age, and I can tell you that when I was a grade schooler in the Barron Area School District, we had train safety day. And I don't want to hammer on this safety issue, but in my generation, in my time, their trains were big through Barron. They went through Barron at 45 miles an hour and faster when it was the Sioux line. But before that, it was Sault Ste. Marie and Minneapolis-St. Paul. So the rail line has been into Barron since 1903. It stopped just in the Barron corporate limits. The information we have was 1903. At 1908, it was taken west of Barron. So I hope I'm answering. I'm not dodging this question. I'm answering this, but I'm also trying to give some historical perspective of how long rail has been in Barron. And in fact, not only did we have, in the state termed this, we had a high speed line. We also had the Blueberry Line, which was a slow speeder called the S Line. When it left Cameron, it was called the S Train. And that snaked on a separate track. So there's been rail in Barron for a very long time.
So now, rail is definitely the most efficient way to move this stuff. What are the prospects, Jeff Plaley, that by frac sand kind of spurring the development or the resurrection of these rail lines, what are the prospects that this will help other businesses, as in, other businesses maybe locating near these brand new rail lines?
Well, that's an excellent question. Excuse me. That's what's really exciting about this is when you have such a huge investment, $32 million. If I'm looking to locate a factory somewhere in Wisconsin, and shipping is a big part of what I need to do, I'm going to look near where the railroads are. So I think that this can spin off quite a bit of other development, industrial production, and because when you do have a strong infrastructure like that, it does make it much more attractive to locate near there. I think we've seen that a lot on the Wisconsin and Southern line, which is down in the southern part of the state.
Yeah, I agree. Bill Gardner, I think, has done an excellent job of connecting the dots and bringing other business. And one thing that was discussed at Barron County, from another, actually it was kind of a large, they were a mining operation and frac sand was part of it. They were looking at doing an inland port. In an inland port in Barron County, which would have had looked at having towers for, say, potash, LP gas, shipping grains out of Barron County. We have a lot of grain farmers now in Barron County. Plus, they're also their frac sand. They looked at putting an oval around their dry plant and then allowing other businesses to lease or own inside of their property to be able to ship, which is what an inland port is. So then you look at all these ancillary businesses that can be a part of that, and you look at Barron County where we have diesel, biodiesel in Cumberland. All those things become an indirect benefit of what's happening here. And I'm told that, you look at shipments by rail from LP gas. If you ship it on a LP tank, you're getting 3 or 3.5 semi-trucks in LP. So you can substantially reduce the price of that LP. And we look at how Barron County is rural. That saves people money on their heating bill.
And right now I'd like to bring on Brian Rood to the program. Brian Rood is Vice President of External Member Relations at Dairyland Power Cooperative. Brian Rood, thanks so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
I understand that your time is short as you've got a holiday get-together to attend to. But real quick, you had some concerns about this frac sand boom and its subsequent effect on Western Wisconsin railroads as far as prices are concerned?
Well, actually, my comments were more general about the whole rail situation.
Okay, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so not specific to the frac sand issue, although that certainly is going to put even more pressure on.
Sure. All right, so I imagine Dairyland Power Cooperative has to haul a lot of coal, or has to pay for a lot of coal to be shipped to their the plants? I mean, what are your concerns?
Well, the last 7 or 8 years, we've seen really incredible pricing pressure from the railroads. They're in a very unique position. There are only four major Class A railroads left in the country. Two of them, the UP and the Burlington, are the, quote, competitors on the northern western part of the United States. But the reality is they're not very competitive anymore. And the problem is, frankly, their capacity has been pretty full, and they're using that full capacity to increase their pricing power. It's putting pressure on commodities like coal, any commodity really that can't be transported very economically or feasibly by alternatives. So we are really seeing that kind of pressure year after year after year, and they're just not very sympathetic to the fact that we don't have alternatives.
And is there any concern that that all this traffic from frac sand, of these trains hauling frac sand filled cars, will add to that? Or,
well, I expect it will. Obviously, it takes a long time to develop the infrastructure necessary for the frac mines, but there are only so many rail cars and only so many trains that it takes a long time for the railroads to ramp up for their to meeting demand. So I think the frac sand is going to have some pressure, but to be very honest, we're talking about a national problem in terms of rail capacity and rail costs. And so it's not just a local issue, but a national one. Darylin Power has been involved with other Wisconsin businesses, I think about 40 Wisconsin businesses, in a group called Badger Care, which is Badger Consumers United for Rail Equity. And we're trying to find regulatory and legislative approaches to even out the increases. We appreciate the fact that the railroads need to have funding to do their capital needs and to address things like the frac sand growth. But, you know, we also have to realize that when they increase rates much above the rate of inflation, that impacts directly on power bills and in the ag sector and other places, where we really don't have an alternative. So I think the bottom line is that we need to have some thoughtful debate and discussion about how we can get rates better under control. In some cases, it's a matter of having more competition, trying to encourage more competition. In some cases, it might be using the regulatory apparatus, which is called the Surface Transportation Board, to try to level the playing field somewhat.
All right. Jeff Plaley, any thoughts or any responses to that as far as the pricing pressure?
Sure. And this has been, as Brian mentioned, this has been an issue that's been around for you know, a long time. And I know that there are some places in the northern part of the state that at one point had rail service, and there are some shippers who are who aren't real happy with the railroads because they do want to use them, and it's not always easy. And then you couple that with the with some of the pricing issues. You know, we're cursed and we're blessed because we're so close to Chicago, and a lot of this stuff, a lot of these commodities flow through Chicago before being sent out to other parts. So it that has some impact on the pricing. The Surface Transportation Board, as Brian mentioned, out in Washington, D.C., they're really the chief regulator of all things economic when it comes to the railroads. That power was consolidated there, oh, gosh, Brian, help me out, 70s, what? 80s?
Yeah, late 70s, the passage of the Staggers Act, which basically freed railroads for the most part into a competitive situation, and that was kind of the fail-safe if competition did not work.
Right. The Office of the Commissioner of Railroads used to regulate all things economic when it came to railroads. I found some old documents in my office setting the price of moving beer from Wausau to Rhinelander. So, yeah, we don't get involved in the price of beer anymore.
Jeff French, any thoughts on this?
Well, I guess my historical perspective is the opposite of the gentleman from Darylin Power. We were in Barron County on the opposite of begging and pleading to get any railroad to continue service into the Genio Turkey Store and other places that needed it. I mean, commodities. Finally, you know, we got Progressive Rail after searching through WWRTA, Wisconsin West Rail Transit Authority, and I can't speak – I don't want to speak specifically to his concerns, but it's just simply, again, saying we were on the opposite end. We needed a railroad and couldn't get one, and our rails have went down – you know, incrementally since the 90s. In fact, the first the records I can find in the Barron County was in 1993, the abandonment of the right-of-ways in Barron County. And specifically, I'm told, and specifically in 1992, the last opening of the old Blueberry Line was done, and it was actually closed. And then after that, the rails have went down with Canadian National would be actually the third owner of the lines in Barron County. So a different perspective.
All right.
Well, and Progressive Rail is really just a phenomenal company that's operating here in Wisconsin. They're, you know, when you compare them to Canadian National, they're much, much, much smaller. But in dealing with some of the local government folks up there, they're very nimble. They've been very willing to engage the community, and they've put a $5 million upgrade into their line. And for a company that size, that's enormous.
All right, Brian Rood, thank you so much for giving a call in. Best of luck with the entertainment there, and again, we appreciate it.
Good talking to you again,
nice
Brian.
Nice to hear my friend Jeff Plaley. We served together in the Senate,
right.
And good that he's doing things for Wisconsin railroads. And I do, actually, I agree that there are whole areas of the economy that are not getting adequate rail service, agriculture being a prime one. So I'm not implying that the only issue is cost. Access is still a big rail issue, too. So we have to keep working on it because I think Wisconsin's economic health does depend on having good rail service.
Agreed.
All right. Thanks so much,
Brian.
Thanks. Take care.
Have a good Christmas, Brian.
And with that, we'll take our first break here on the west side. We have one more caller on the line. But please bear with us. We will get to Colfax. We'll get to Pat's call when we return. We're talking about frac sand and its impact on railroads in western Wisconsin. You're listening to The West Side.
Support for WPR comes from Edelman, proud to call Wisconsin home for 27 years, specializing in consultative travel management, video travel, and global consolidations, dedicated to bringing people together to conduct business, online at edelmantravel.com. Support also comes from Just Local Food, your friendly downtown grocery store with local food, gifts, and gift certificates for the holidays, in Eau Claire at the corner of South Farwell and Washington, and at justlocalfood.com.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
An important milestone to solidify that once-a-year feeling of jocularity, goodwill, and warm, hearty fellowship, the Big River Radio Wave Holiday Edition. Featuring the Riverbenders, Adventurer Taff Roberts, Funny Lady Amber Preston, the last river rat Kenny Solway, and a side of Santa Claus not often heard in public. The Big River Radio Wave Holiday Spectacular.
Hear it at 5 p.m. Friday, December 21st on 88.3 WHWC and 88.7 WRFW.
I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio, 88.3 WHWC. Thanks for tuning us in. We're talking about railroads and specifically frac sand mining's impact on them here in western Wisconsin. We've got two pretty major rail rehab projects, one running from Barron to Ladysmith and one running north from Chippewa Falls. And we've got two gentlemen on the program who know more than their fair share about the rail industry. In Madison, joining us via tie line is Jeff Plaley. He is the Wisconsin Commissioner of Railroads. And joining us in studio is Jeff French. He's the Barron County Administrator and also is a past Secretary for the Western Wisconsin Rail Transit Authority. If you have any questions or comments for either of our guests, give us a call, 800-228-5615. What do you think about this, about frac sand mining, the boom, and its effect on rail lines? Do you have trains going by your house, you know, more often? Are you living on a rail line that has been extinct for decades but now is about to reopen with a whole number of traffic cars? Give us a call, 800-228-5615. Right now we go to Colfax, and we've got Pat on the line. Pat, thanks for holding with us or staying with us. You're on the air.
Thanks. Yeah, I live a quarter of a mile from a rail line in Colfax here, the one that goes through Boyceville.
Okay.
And on. We've gotten used to the rail line. In the last couple of years, however, we've been concerned about the decibel level of the signal. I know there are rules about when the train has to sound the signal, you know, and where and how long. But it seems to me that the decibel level has changed. With frac sand mining going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and trains going more and more often, it seems to me you're going to have a lot more concern from communities along the way, especially if those louder whistles are being used, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
Right.
I'm just curious about the rail commissioner's comments
sure.
on that.
Yeah,
sure.
There has been a change in the decibel level recently, hasn't there, Jeff Plaley?
Well, I don't know how recently. The federal regulations require 115 decibel level on the train horns. And as they're going through a crossing, they're mandated to blow the whistle no less than 15 seconds and no more than 20 seconds. And one of the things that I've noticed is when winter comes, we get a lot of calls in my office about the loudness of train horns, because obviously with the very cold air, noise travels differently. And also all the leaves are off the trees. So that I think has some impact on it too. But, you know, I get calls every so often. Can you turn the train horn down? Not without an act of Congress.
So what are the options then? I mean, we're hearing a lot in Chippewa Falls and in the part of Eau Claire near the airport where there's a lot of traffic going through because of the frac sand. A lot of people say we don't like the horns. So what are their options?
Well, there is an option that's called a quiet zone. And quiet zones used to be administered by the local municipality. It would be a vote of the village board or the city council, and they would establish a quiet zone. Well, what was happening is these were popping up all over the country, and people were getting killed because not a lot of research went into them. Congress took that power away from local municipalities and gave it to the FRA, the Federal Rail Administration, and it's actually very formulaic right now. It's number of trains goes into the formula, the speed of trains, the past history, have people been hurt or killed at that crossing before, and if the FRA determines that it's okay to have a quiet zone, they can grant that to a local community, but that really has to be initiated by the local community, by the city council, to get the ball rolling. And certainly if there's a somebody from, you know, who wants the contact information at the FRA, they can call my office in Madison, and that number is 608-266-0276, and I can hook them up with the proper people in the Chicago regional office.
All right. Jeff French, you'd like to chime in as well.
Mr. Plaley, I just had a question. I had read somewhere that they had done a study about what's called a directional horn that narrows the sound substantially, like in towns or in cities, so that it's more directional, pointed right at that crossing. I'm wondering if you can comment or if you've read anything on that and where they're at in that study, and is it going to go anywhere?
Yeah, I've heard about it, but that's about as far as that's about the extent of my knowledge on that. I know that they're always looking at improving the technology, and I've talked to some of the guys who actually the engineers on the train. And they're interested in it, but you know those things kind of move slowly. But it is something that's interesting.
And I think that's unfortunate for the caller, because I think it's a legitimate complaint. When I think the reading of the people here, especially in Eau Claire, as I read through the articles, they're not saying no to the trains; they're saying no to the noise.
Right.
And
People tend to have a love-hate relationship with trains. They love them in other people's neighborhoods.
But I think if we as a society would apply that technology, I'm just speaking rhetorically and wanting us to be problem solvers, if we would apply that technology, we should be able to solve some of this.
You would think.
Sure.
Can I just make a comment?
Go ahead, Pat.
I love train whistles. There's nothing nicer. but I like the old ones. And this new ear blasting stuff has only started in the last couple of years, and it really could wake the dead. I'm serious. I think you're going to get more and more complaints as the trains are more numerous.
Oh, sure. Because they are, there's more frequency of them.
Well,
and
what about controlled crossings, though? Can't those go in? But I understand they're fairly expensive.
Oh, we order controlled crossings all the time.
And that negates the need for a horn, doesn't it?
No. There are still whistles that are blown at crossings that have lights and gates.
Okay.
It certainly helps the local community if they are pursuing a quiet zone. Certainly that would be one of the upgrades that would need to be made. But you know, that, like I mentioned, that sleepy little line that goes from Madison out to Prairie du Chien, I get calls probably every day or every other day about the whistles that come along with it. And you know, I've seen the other side of it too. In Milwaukee last February, there was an 11-year-old boy who was killed in the village of Wauwatosa, and that was in a quiet zone. And that was pretty horrific. And when I got to that accident scene, the train crew pointed out quickly, you know, this is a problem with quiet zones. So I've seen both sides.
All right, Pat, thank you so much for the call. I want to get into some of the history in Barron County, and I want to move to get to Jeff French here. We're talking mainly about two rail lines here that are being affected by the sand rush and the spurring of development. Let's talk first about the Barron to Ladysmith line, or actually it's Poskin to Ladysmith. There was no tracks in many parts of this. Let's talk first about why these were abandoned lines.
Correct. There was parts, I'm told, by Canton that the rails were basically out. The rails had disappeared. Now, you're not supposed to take a rail, but obviously it happened, I'm told, and the lines were absolutely junk. They were grown through. And if you go from Poskin to Elmina, the rail lines are grown through.
Was this an area where it was going to be a rails-to-trails kind of a thing?
Correct. There was discussions with WWRTA as far as, and I've been involved with WWRTA since 2001, was what is going to happen from Cameron to Ladysmith. And there was, the Department of Transportation was going to buy that line, or the thoughts were to buy that line, then lease it to the DNR as rails-to-trail, and also discussion that was going to be, you know, maybe multimodal. We're also going to let people cross-country ski on that from Cameron to Ladysmith. The WWRTA was going to keep a portion of the line open between Cameron and the High Bridge east of Cameron, and the people in the area know I'm talking about, just to store cars. We were going to keep it just in working condition, just to store cars for Progressive Rail, because the rehabilitation for the WWRTA was going to end on the north side of the Red Cedar Bridge in the city of Rice Lake, go as far south as Norma, and then from Cameron, or just slightly east of Cameron, to 3rd Street in Barron. That was our rehab project that we were going to take on. Well, let's talk a little history here.
Mm-hmm.
The village of Cameron, I'm told, was actually a mile south of where it was. And when the rail line came in east to west, they moved the village up a mile north to get it on the rail, because that's how much people wanted rail in the day. Now, it comes from Ladysmith and ends in 1903. And I'm told that this is the fact. In 1903, it ended in Barron. And between 1903 and 1908, by 1908, it was going west out of Barron, heading to Dresser. And I think now we all know why it went to Dresser. It was to get the Dresser trap rock, which makes the rail now, which we all realize is being hauled in immense amounts now around the Barron area to rehab these lines. So that's some history. Now, that was the St. Paul Central and Sault Ste. Marie. Subsequently, that was bought sometime in the mid-80s or 90s, and I'm just going from memory. That was opened by Wisconsin Central Limited, and they ran the line from Ladysmith into Barron fairly regularly. And then, of course, Canadian National bought them out. Then there was the abandonment. And we'll just talk some timelines just in our history.
Go ahead.
1903 was the right-of-way was sold. By 1993, Barron County had Ordinance 7-93, and we create a railroad right-of-way committee. And then same year, in 1993, there was an authorization request, the abandonment of the rail lines by Wisconsin Central Limited, Cameron to the Chippewa County line. So there was, in 1993, you're talking about from Cameron to Chippewa Falls being abandoned and from Ladysmith to Barron being abandoned. And and from 1993 to 2000, there were other resolutions authorizing abandonment and support of a super recreational trail proposal in these ones that were going to be abandoned. Now, fast forward to about 1998, 99, 2000, a guy by the name of Francis Felber, who worked for Jerome Foods at that time, now Genio Turkey Store, he saw the need. We have to keep these rail lines open so that, Rich, we got to keep these rail lines open so that we can get product into the Genio Turkey Store. They were getting about a rail car a day, and to say nothing of what was missing in the city of Rice Lake. So the about 1998, let's even go forward here. In 2005, the WWRTA put in our first application to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation asking that we rehab the lines from Ladysmith to Barron. That was basically turned down flat, saying, look, we're not going to repair rail lines for 38 miles when there's only one hitch, one pickup and one delivery. So that's when Barron County in 2005, 2007, we drafted the agreement between Barron and Chippewa counties for us to acquire the lines from Norma to Rice Lake, from Cameron to Barron. We're going to be owned in conjunction with Department of Transportation, WWRTA, the counties, so that we could keep those rail lines open. And let's talk some costs here that we're talking that we're going to – let's basically round – I'm going to talk round numbers here. In 2007, just the cost to rehab 50.05 miles of line in Barron and Chippewa County was going to cost a total of $16,197,500. Barron County's portion, about $1.8 million. Actually, it's about $1.9 million at the end of the day. Chippewa County's about $1.4 million. Now, when we talk – when I talk costs, I want people to understand – that is a Barron County would have had to go out and borrow money from the state trust fund or issue bonds so that we could keep these rail lines open. So there was going to be a direct cost to the taxpayer to keep these open. But again, when you listen to the people from DOT, why you don't want your rail line to go out is you know, and I've heard many presentations and it keeps resounding in my mind, it's the damage done where the road surface meets the bridge, because that's, I'm told, the number one area where the trucks traveling, the damage that they do. And I'm not anti-trucking. I'm just telling you what I'm told. And so keeping your rail lines open spurs economic development. But for every rail car you see, it's between three and four trucks you can take off the road. And to put this in perspective, in the city of Barron, and I'm pulling this from memory, but the last math I did, these rail lines, if we were to rehabilitate them for the needs that we identified in Barron County, it would be like taking one semi out of the city of Barron, one semi every hour of the day, 365 days, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Wow.
So it was a big effect on Barron, city of Barron. You know, you got Genio Turkey Store. You have the main one in the city of Barron. But I'm also talking about the ABC Trust Factory in Chetek. I'm talking about Shadow Plastics in Rice Lake. I'm talking about the plastics company in Bloomer, its service. And that says nothing of what, you know, is being discussed is what do we do to get some of the grain shipped out of Barron County?
And I want to remind listeners that we're talking about frac sand and its impact on Western Wisconsin rail lines, specifically in Barron County. Give us a call. Let us know what you think, whether or not you're going to be impacted because you're going to have trains crossing by your drive when they might not have been there for the last 20 years or so. The number is 800-228-5615. Or are you excited about the economic development that is possible with these brand new rail lines coming to Western Wisconsin? 800-228-5615. Now, let's fast forward here. The rails were abandoned. There was all this talk about having the taxpayers kind of foot the bill to purchase these rail lines. Then you realize they're not for sale. How did that come about?
Well, because I've been around this so long, I can actually tell you. I'd like to start again, give a little more history so people understand this.
Sure.
About 7 years ago, I sat in on a very confidential meeting wherein a particular individual was going to buy the entire rail lines from Cameron to Elmina and from Rice Lake to Chippewa Falls. That fell through. It was actually, those lines were for sale by Canadian National and Union Pacific. I was in firsthand knowledge that they were for sale. That didn't go through. Exactly. Fast forward then to just 2009, 2000, well, actually 2008, 2009, WWRTA through DOT, approached Canadian National about buying that line from Cameron to Barron and from Cameron to Rice Lake, and they kind of slowed the process down and were, you know, technical term, dragging their feet, and then they finally said no, didn't give us a real reason, but then came a few months later, came and said, well, we're going to rehab these lines ourselves. Well, that kind of effectively, you kind of knew then that something was up. They're not going to keep these lines, and if they don't know, they're going to rehab them, or they make money by shipping it what they charge. So that's kind of a short synopsis there. So then, and then at the same time, we were in discussions, we being WWRTA, about buying the lines from Cameron to Chippewa, and Union Pacific started to look at their lease agreements with Progressive Rail and start to say, well, we're not so interested in selling. And I would like to Jeff Plaley's comment about Progressive Rail. They were an integral part of WWRTA. They're a small, nimble company. I don't want to leave any negatives, because they, when nobody else would service Barron and Chippewa counties, they were there. And that was a financial risk for them, which nobody else would take. And so I think that needs to be mentioned. And they were definitely a team player in this whole thing.
All right, and looks like we've got another caller coming up on the line, and we're going to go in. Well, I guess we're going to hold on that. Now that these lanes are coming back, we're going to have that. This is going to service, like you mentioned, ABC Trust, Genio. I mean, do you think for Barron County, there's going to be a big rush, maybe, of development? I mean, is that the idea, Jeff French?
Absolutely, that would be the idea, and that's what I think the charge of the Barron County Economic Development Corporation is how can we work cooperatively with CN so, A, the people that are shippers that are currently there and need service don't get left behind, and B, what do we do to attract people that can ship? Should we be looking at, for example, should cut lumber be on those lines as well? I mean, what can we do to help deliveries up to Birchwood Manufacturing? What can we do to help in Ladysmith to the trees that are shipped? All of those things I would hope would be on the table in the discussions. And I've been assured by Canadian National that there will be no drop in service to our existing, because that was a concern brought forward to the Barron County Board of Supervisors is, hey, we don't want Genio or these other ones to not get the service they deserve. So that's in the mix too, Rich.
All right, we're going to take
Barron County.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say Barron County is in a very enviable spot right now. You really get the epicenter. You have two lines that converge there, and the potential for economic development is huge.
All right, Jeff French, you're in an enviable position, I hear.
Correct. Actually, we and the other Jeff probably knows this, that I, as county administrator, was interviewed on that 10-county rail coalition. They came to Barron County and won it, and they're doing a, I believe it's completed now, or will be completed by the 13th of January. They have done a survey that Mr. Plaley is talking about of what kind of rail service do we need, what should be in place from Dresser, Wisconsin, all the way into Michigan. And I think I commend the governor for taking this on and making it a priority, because Florence, Oneida, these other counties where they're losing their rail service were where Barron County was in 1999, 1995, 2000, and losing that. And second, I'd like to point out the Barron County Executive Committee, we discussed this, and they directed me as county administrator to, as much as I can squeeze into my schedule, to be and go to those meetings and help them out and give them advice so you don't lose your rail lines.
We're going to take our final break here on the west side. We're talking about Western Wisconsin rail and frac sand mining's impact on that. We see two rail lines coming back to life, basically, in Barron County and at Chippewa County. A lot of traffic coming through Eau Claire south, some traffic in the southern part of the state as well. We'll be right back to finish up the conversation and take any more calls if you've got them. Our number is 800-228-5615. This is The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Comedian Jeff Cesario is bringing his brand of homegrown humor to Eau Claire. We'll talk about growing up in Wisconsin and a lot more. Jim Oliver welcomes mystery writer Mary Logue about her latest piece of literary intrigue. It's the weekend of the highly anticipated holiday concerts by the Master Singers. Director Gary Schwartzoff provides the vantage point. And Harriet Rice is here with a book that's all about handmade, homegrown, and historical in Northwest Wisconsin. Catch it all on Spectrum West at 5 p.m. tomorrow on this station of the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, supplying natural fiber clothing, outerwear, snowshoes, and other holiday gifts for outdoor enthusiasts and nature lovers. 220 West Broadway in Monona or on the web at rutabaga.com.
Support also comes from Marshfield Clinic, dedicated to offering cancer care to meet the needs of each patient. Marshfield Clinic. Don't just live, shine. More information at marshfieldclinic.org/cancer.
And you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us. We're talking about rail in western Wisconsin, specifically some rail lines that are coming back to life, much to the thanks of frac sand mining, the increase in that. And while it brings a lot of concerns about groundwater, health, air, you name it, property values, it also brings a lot of investment, and we're seeing that right now. Almost just about $40 million, or close to it, invested in rail lines, just two rail lines in Barron County and Chippewa Falls. We're talking about the line running from Poskin near Barron, west or east to Ladysmith, and from Chippewa Falls north. And we had a caller that chimed in just a bit ago, but we weren't able to get them on the air. And that caller was wondering about the environmental impact of more train service for frac sand. And Jeff Plaley, let's go to you.
Sure.
This is going to mean more carbon dioxide in the air, more diesel fumes, won't it?
Well, not necessarily. As Jeff French mentioned, every boxcar gets four semis off our highways. It's a much greener way of shipping commodities than by putting things on truck. And again, I'm not anti-truck either. Mm-hmm. But those are, I'm trying to remember the statistic. You can move a ton of freight 400 miles on a train for the cost of a gallon of diesel fuel. So I think it's actually a very green form of transportation. Now, I hung up my legislator hat a couple of years ago, but I do think this coming legislative session, frac sand will be an issue in the legislature. There's different groups that have raised concerns, but you know, at the end of the day, these are aggregate mines. They're really nothing different than a gravel pit, except they're pulling out smaller stuff than big blocks of granite. So
the scale, is quite different, is it not?
The scale of these mines. Well, some are enormous. The one in Poskin is huge.
The plant,
some others that aren't. That aren't necessarily as big, and then you know there have been concerns that have been raised on the final use of frac sand, is you know how it extracts oil and natural gas. So there are people who are concerned, but boy, I mean for the boon to Wisconsin's economy because of this, it's just amazing. It's all over our state. It's not just in Barron County, but it's been huge.
Now, Jeff Plaley, before we're getting close to the top of the hour, what about high-speed rail? I mean, is there any chance that this kind of development, what's happening in western Wisconsin, this money that is attracting rail lines or railroads enough to invest pretty large dollar amounts, is there any chance that will kind of morph into a high-speed rail line? Because I know people in western Wisconsin have been crying for some type of rail transit for a long time.
Yeah, the DOT right now is doing two studies with regard to passenger rail. One has to do with the Empire Builder, whether or not there ought to be another set that accompanies the one train a day now, which obviously that goes through La Crosse and then up the Minnesota side.
Yeah.
There's also a study going on with IDOT, the Illinois Department of Transportation, on increasing the speed between Milwaukee and Chicago. I think the debate will rage for a long time whether the line should go through Eau Claire or to continue to go through La Crosse. But I do know that the DOT is looking at that. The Midwest Rail Initiative, is active, and that's something that they're looking at. Is Canadian National going to jump in the passenger train business because they upgraded the line? Probably not.
Jeff French, any thoughts?
Exactly. Barron County is part of the I-94 coalition here that's Barron, mm-hmm. Eau Claire, and Rich, you probably know about that. But we are definitely of the opinion that high-speed rail needs to come through Eau Claire. It needs to go through Menominee, in my opinion, and right downtown to the St. Paul station, because if you look at the number of cars on I-94, it's actually over. It's over capacity. And they're talking in the next 12 to 20 years, they want to build 6-lane all the way out to Baldwin or even further. And I'm just putting a plug in for Western Wisconsin, because Western Wisconsin's a great place to live, and we deserve to have that high-speed rail, because then you're talking about real green technology, because a high-speed rail, you can transport a lot of people on a high-speed rail for numerous cars can come off. So I just put that plug in.
That's true.
All right, back to Frac Sand. We've got a couple minutes. Frac Sand and railroads in Western Wisconsin. Jeff French. How many mines are operating, or how many facilities for frac sand are operating in Barron County?
Operating. Let's use the word operating.
Operating.
There are three as of next week, and that includes the Superior Silica Sands plant west of Barron. Now, let's keep in mind that Superior Silica Sands is really state-of-the-art. Everything's enclosed over there.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing for fugitive dust. You've got Great Northern, you've got Chieftain, you've got Superior Silica Sands, and then you're going to have CSP coming online east of Cameron here soon.
And applications yet for other?
No, they've really dropped, Rich. The glut has happened. The cycle has hit. We are not expecting many more NR-135 permits coming out of Barron County.
All right. And Jeff Plaley and Jeff French, if you want to chime in too. Future of rail, Wisconsin. What is the future? Predict it for us, would you?
Oh, I think if past performance is any indicator, it's strong. I mean, all across the state, not just in that region. If you look at the line from Mauston over to Winona, CN has put a huge investment in upgrading that. The Wisconsin Southern is expending a lot of money upgrading their infrastructure. These companies wouldn't be spending that amount of money if they weren't bullish on rail.
All right.
I'm bullish on rail.
All right, very good. I really appreciate it, fellas. You guys know a frightening amount about railroads in Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin in particular. I want to thank my guests, Jeff Plaley, Commissioner of Railroads, joining us from Madison. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it. And also thank you, Jeff French, for joining
us,
coming from Barron to speak about all the development that's happening in your county. And that does it for this program. Next week, we're going to have some local reporters on to talk about the year, the news year in review. And while it wasn't as tumultuous as 2011 might have been or was, we still have a lot to talk about. There was some recall elections. Frac Sand, for goodness sake, expanded, almost doubled in that year as far as facilities are concerned or applications. So tune in next week. We'll have Jerry Gallagher from News 18 here in Eau Claire, and we'll also have Don Hoopscher, the editor of the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram. Until then, have a good week. I'm Rich Kramer. We'll chat again next week, next Thursday.